Now, I'm going to make the opening statement here vague, a little vague, in order to protect the innocent, okay? A short while ago, a minister was taking a survey of young people, and he asked the young people, what comments do you have regarding some of the sermons you heard? That's really an open question. That's one thing you learn legally. Be careful of how you ask a question, you see. So what comments do you have about sermons you've heard recently? And one of the young persons, in good faith, you understand, said, well, the minister should not preach so much about how evil the world is. Isn't that beautiful? You asked for it, you got it, you see. The minister should not preach so much about how evil the world is. Now, I'm not imputing my comments here to him, but in my mind, you see, what underlies this, what underlies it, is this thought. You know, the world is really not that bad a place after all. It's really not that bad. You know, if you go out there, there's a lot of fun in the world. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good times, you see. You make it out to be kind of evil all the time. No, but there are good times, and that's the point. There are pleasurable times in the world, you see. And in fact, sin has pleasure. Whoa, heresy. No, not heresy. Hebrews 11:25. Moses refused the passing pleasures of sin. So you see, sin has pleasure, but the outcome of sin is evil, and the consequences are very bad. Okay? But nevertheless, there is pleasure out in the world, so I kind of see in that statement, hey, you know, there's good times out in that world. So the minister should not be preaching so much about how evil it is. But remember now, the young person had a good attitude and was just expressing his feelings. So today, from scriptures, okay? So therefore, if you don't like some of the things I'm going to say, don't blame me, I'm only the messenger, blame God, okay? Because the question is the world in essence evil? Is the world evil, like some of the ministers preach or have been preaching, okay? Is the world in essence evil? Yes, the answer from scriptures is not a pretty picture, but I'm only the messenger. And nothing I'm going to say today should in any way impugn that young person that asked the question. In fact, I commend them for being, you know, open with his question. So, first of all, what do I mean when I'm going to speak about the world? What do I mean by that? I want to make a distinction between the world and the earth, you see, the world and the earth. The world, when I speak of the world, I'm not talking about truckloads of dirt. Dirt does not sin, okay? So when I use the word world, I'm talking about the unconverted people of the world as a whole that inhabit this planet we call Earth. So basically, the world is comprised of these unconverted people. That's what I'm referring to, that inhabit the Earth. So the question is, if we're going to talk about is the world evil, right? What is evil? It's a good place to start. Now, one simplistic meaning that evil is given, evil is the opposite of good. That's pretty simplistic, right? Genesis 2:17, God introduced the tree of knowledge of good and evil. good and evil. Right? Good and evil. Two opposites. And you will find this contrast in many, many scriptures. Okay? So what is evil? See, in my review of the different scriptures about evil, it will appear that evil is really equivalent to sinning. Evil is equivalent to sinning. So, good and evil. You see, it's just the opposite. You got two opposites there, good and evil. So that helps to explain what evil is. 2 Samuel 12:9. Why have you despised, you see, this is where I'm saying it's just a transgression of God's law. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil? To do evil. So this concept is prevalent through the scriptures that if you disobey God, you've committed evil. So that was the first question, what is evil? And that's the basic description of it. So how does God view evil? What's his view? See, what kind of a relationship does God have with evil? Habakkuk 1:13 says, you are of pure eyes. Your eyes are pure, more pure than to behold evil. God doesn't like to look upon evil, right? And you cannot look on wickedness. Okay? So perhaps, you see, God cannot behold evil. That's why I find many scriptures. You see, when Israel or his people sinned and they kept repenting or kept repeating the sin, the scriptures say he turned his face away from them. Or he turned his back to them. See, it fulfills the scripture here. You can't behold evil. God can't stand it. Okay, we'll hear more of that. In Psalms 5:4, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Evil's not going to dwell with God, and we read that at the end of the Bible that we'll talk about later. Now, recently I spoke about the simplicity of God's word. I said God's word is very simplistic, not complicated, not confusing. It's simplistic. So in Amos 5:14, it says, seek good and not evil. Remember the two contrasts? But again, very simplistic, right? Seek good and not evil. That's not complicated. And in verse 15, Amos 15, it just follows, hate evil, love good. Now, you can't get any more simplistic than that, right? You can't do it. So what is the bottom lines of God's view of evil? His view, the bottom line, Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate it. And he says, the evil way I hate. So that gives you a summary of God's view of evil. Remember, these are only summaries. There's a lot more scriptures. I started out, I had about 40 pages. See, you had to cut and cut and cut, get them down to a reasonable size. So as far as we know from the scriptures, what was the first manifestation of evil? What was the first manifestation? Hebrews 1:1-2, it all started with God creating Lucifer and other angels. See, we read the story of Lucifer's fall in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, verse 1, and verses 11 through 17. Now, we got to note that God created Lucifer. He did not create Satan. Got to make that distinction. See, and Lucifer and his angels were created with free moral agencies. Very important. I have a young person in the family who called. He attends a different church, and he was saying certain views of the scriptures, but missing this point. His question missed the point of free moral agency. So Lucifer was created perfect, adorned with precious stones around his throne, around his cape or an umbrella, the way they express it, invested with authority. He was perfect, perfect. See, Ezekiel 28, 15, and 16, and Lucifer remained such until his beauty, his vanity, and his power caused him to sin. He failed in a coup against God to establish his throne above God, and he was cast down to earth. Luke 10, 18, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Lucifer's name was changed to Satan, and his angels became known as demons. So commenced evil. Evil. Okay? So he was cast down to earth as Satan and his demons. Now, Satan is the fountainhead and the epitome of all evil. John 8:44. Speaking of Satan, he is the father of lies, the father. He generates them. He begets them, lies, and a murderer from the beginning. Matthew 6:13, in the outline prayer, the very outline prayer that Jesus said, if you want to pray, here's the way you pray, deliver us from the evil one is one of the thoughts. And then at the end of his life, toward in John 17, 15, before he went to the cross, he said, keep us from the evil one. Evil. Down here on earth, cast down. So that it appears that evil is so ingrained in Satan, you see, that it's the earmark of evil is his name. It's right in his name. The evil one. As the evil one, what is Satan's relationship to the world? He's cast down. Is there any relationship? 1 John 5, 19. We know that we are of God. You see, there's a distinction here. That's why I made the distinction immediately, the unconverted, when we talk about the world. We know we are of God and the whole world. Sometimes you got to read scriptures by word, okay? Sometimes you take it in blocks, sometimes word by word. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The wicked one is Satan, another name for Satan, and sway is subject to and under his persuasion. See, the whole world is subject to Satan. Revelation 12, 9. So the great dragon, another name for Satan, was cast out. That serpent of old, another name. Right? Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Deceives. This is the right way to go. Take of the fruit of the tree. It's good for you. Don't worry what God says. He deceived Eve. Deceived her. Said this is right, whereas in fact it's wrong. But it makes it sound like it was right. That's deceit, you see. And it's the whole world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. So what is Satan's relationship to the world? 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Satan referred to as the God of this world. The God. Now, God is a spiritual leader. So he's the spiritual leader. Then in John 12, 31, Satan is called the prince of the world. See, prince is the secular leader. The secular leader. Satan is evil, and he fashioned the world after his concept. You see, so the world is evil. We'll develop that more and more. Now, how did evil come to inflict mankind? Satan came down, he inflicted it to the world. How did he inflict mankind? This brings us to the story of the Garden of Eden. Not going to go through that, you know it very well, right? Not too much detail. So God created man and woman innocent, innocent. See, just like he created Lucifer, innocent. But they knew good. Obviously, God taught them what was good, see? And they had free moral agency, right? God instructed them, don't eat of the tree of good and evil. Don't do it. They disobeyed God. That was sin, and that is what? That's evil. They committed evil, you see? They committed evil by partaking of the fruit and disobeying God. Then what? Then what happened? Right? You can read it. God cursed man. God cursed man. And then God cursed woman. And then God cursed the earth. And then God cursed Satan. Four times curses on everything, you see. Genesis 3, 5 and 22. Now, one consequence of Adam and Eve's sin is that their eyes, it says, were open. Open. Now you can understand. Remember Satan thing? Hey, God doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to be like him and know. So their eyes were open, so now they knew good and evil. Before they only knew good. Now they know evil as well, you see. So knowing evil, you see, is now filtered down to mankind today, and they now have a choice. They can do good or they can do evil. That choice is open to them as a free moral agent, you see. It's a choice mankind can make now. So in Romans 7, 18 and 23, see, without the Holy Spirit, remember, God sent an angel. He said, you keep them out of that garden now. Don't let them take of that tree over there, the tree of life. Okay? So without the Holy Spirit imparting to them and to the world the power of God, you see, they become slaves, the world. Slaves and victim to the lust of their tendency to sin, flesh. Flesh has a tendency to sin, and they become victims to that. They become victims and slaves. So consider the outcome of Adam and Eve's sin. The whole world now exists under a curse from God. Four curses. The whole world that we live in, that's what they're under. So it's through the wiles of Satan, with the help of man, that sin came to infect the world. But it does not end there. Satan continues to infect this world with evil. I gave one sermon a long time ago. I forget, there are at least 10 ways the way Satan keeps trying to destroy Christians or the world, you see. But here, Matthew 13, verses 37 and 40, it's the parable of the sower of the tares, remember? Verse 38, the field is the world. The world, that's what we're talking about, right? The world. And the tares are who? The sons. You get it? Sons of the wicked one. Huh? Satan. Satan has sons. That's what the Bible teaches. Satan has sons. Sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them, spread them out into the world. See? So the sons are sown in and throughout the world, the sons of Satan, okay? So that is part of the work that Satan is still doing today. So is the world evil? That's the question, remember. John 8, 44, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking to us as well, not just the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. Remember, sons of Satan, that you are the father. This is doubling down on that point. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. You're not forced to do it. You're not pressed into doing it. You want to do it, he's telling the world. That's what you want to do. You want to follow Satan's leading, see? Now, if you believe this, then you will understand how there are so many varieties and degrees of evil and horrors that are committed by so many people on this earth today. It helps you understand, you see. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God. Again, this is a repeat of the scripture. The whole world lies under the sway, domination, and control of the wicked one. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the one who is against you, see, the devil walks about, he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if I were there at the time that Peter was writing this, I'd say, you know, Peter, this and the metaphor you want to draw here about a lion is not the best one, because we're here in a civilization, and you know, Peter, we never see a lion except behind bars or something. See? But there's a whole book out about the tigers. The tiger, a whole book on being one of the greatest predators of man. How dangerous they are, you see. But the point is, when it says devour, it doesn't mean like he eats us. No, he will destroy us. If Satan can destroy somebody with Christian beliefs, great. But other than that, he simply wants to control them. Just guide them. Just do this. A little bit of deception. And Satan's happy enough with that. Okay? So be it totally destruction or be it taking control where you do his will, Satan's happy with that. But that's only a brief summary of the different ways that Satan continues to infect the earth. Now, what was the nature? What was the nature of Adam and Eve's offspring as it began to populate the earth? Right? We're talking about the world. What was the nature of them as they populated the earth? Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. When the law saw the wickedness of the man was great. Read these words when you read it. Great when he looked down. That's what he saw. And every intent of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continuously. That's what he saw. And just said to God, he was sorry he made man. Can you believe that? It grieved him. Read some of it. Meditate on him. Genesis 6, 11 and 12. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Do you read that today? You read it today in Chicago, where it's kind of a race of who can kill more people. Which city is the greatest in murders? Okay. Filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. All flesh corrupted their way on earth. Okay, so this is the nature of people on earth. Is the world evil? Okay, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. God brought the flood on the world of the ungodly. That's his summation of it. On the world of the ungodly. No God. That's the first step. The first step of those people, the communists, the fascists, whoever it is that wants to destroy us, is destroy God first. Take God out of their life, and then the nation falls, you see. That's what Lenin said. Give me one generation of your youth, he said, and to train them into communism and so on and rejecting God, and democracy will fall like a rotten apple. See? That's all it takes. Take God out of the picture. So these few scriptures teach us the evil nature of the offspring of Adam and Eve before the flood. But what is the nature of mankind after the flood up to today? After the flood, after the ark landed, Noah got off, made a sacrifice to God. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled the sacrifice and said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Not going to do it. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Doesn't sound good. That's what it says. That's what we are. And that's confirmed throughout the Bible. Isaiah 59, 6 through 8. The works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood, and their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. There's no justice in their ways. And we heard about justice today, the unjust judge, right? And it's true. I call them today, so many of these judges are black robe constitutional terrorists. They just don't follow anything. They just follow policy. What's the policy? Not what's the law. See, I was trained in the common law back in Illinois where you needed a precedent. You had to have a case to come up to convince the court. The statute book was about 2 inches thick. That was all. You had to find a case. And you know, if you couldn't find a case in Illinois, you went back to the common law of England, and you could bring up an English case. You see, and they were bound to follow that precedent. So you went up to court and said, thus and such, counsel, do you have a case on that point? You see? Not today. Today it's what group are you affiliated with? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Do you believe in same-sex marriage? Or you believe in gender equality? And so on, see? That's the way the judges decide today, in large part, in large part. Jeremiah 2:13, he says, for my people have committed two sins, summarizing it, two sins. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. I'm the one that gives you eternal life, and you're forsaking me. You're casting me out of your picture, out of your life. And instead, you're going over to a broken cistern. There's no water in it. There's no life in it. It's a foreign god. It's no god. He said, I can't believe it. Two evils. Two evils. See? So that's what they do. They go to a god that's not a god. Jeremiah 17, talking about the nature of man now, right? This is important. This is what is the world evil. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Not a pretty picture, but this is what the scriptures say. Jeremiah 18, 11 and 12, return now everyone from his evil way. It's the way of life, you see, without God's spirit. Evil way, and make your ways and your doing good. You see that contrast? Evil, good. Very simple, very simple. You either do good or you do evil. Not complicated. Not complicated. Very simple. And then they said to him, what would the people say? He said, turn from your evil way and do good. They said, that's hopeless. That's ridiculous. God says, be perfect. You can't be perfect. That's hopeless. So what? So we will walk according to our own plans. We will everyone obey the dictates of his evil, evil heart. And that's the way the world goes. Picture of the world. What's the world like? Is the world evil? That's the responses that come today, right? What do you mean talking about God? You can't be perfect. Just do your thing. Don't hurt somebody. You know, as long as you don't hurt somebody, I don't care what you do. I don't care how much adultery, how much fornication, how much drunkenness. You smash the car, you kill four people. Well, that happens. Well, that happens, you know. Collateral damage. Do what you want. See? Ecclesiastes 9:3, truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Full of evil. Romans 1:26 through 32, you can read that, denounces homosexuality, lesbianism, and obviously same-sex marriage. God condemns that. Then it goes on. It goes on. And you see, here's where it gets a little boring to read all of these, because you got scripture after scripture, okay? So I'm just going to say them very quickly. You've got to take them home and read them word by word so the words have meaning. See? Unrighteousness. What's man do? It says he does things not befitting. He says all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. A real list, right? Not going to have time to read them all. Mark 7, 21 through 23. From within the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, covetousness. It's boring to read them. I'm not going to read them all. You read them home, see? See, and in Romans 7:18, Paul said, "For I know that in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells." You see, that's why he ends up with, "Except Jesus Christ delivers me from this flesh." That's us. That's us delivered from this. That's what we're getting at. And Romans 8:7, the carnal mind without God's Spirit is enmity, a hatred against God. That's where the country is going to go down, and it's going down. Going down. Because they let God out. God's out of the picture now, largely in the world today, you see. Not subject to the law of God and can't be. Galatians 5:19 through 21, read that long list. That's works of the flesh. I'm not going to bore you with it. Read it. So is the world evil? How about a very brief example of some of the world history? Secular history. Let's go outside the Bible. Genghis Khan, capture a city. You fight against me, take the city. Everybody, we stack up heads on a pyramid, massive pyramid of heads. Teach the world, hey, you don't fight against me, Genghis Khan says, you see. Is the world evil? Saladin, I just got a book on Saladin. I was going to just open it there. Capture the city, all kind of slaves. Sell the strong. What do you got left? All this weak and old. What are we going to do with them? Says, get some strong men here. Start to behead them. Strong men. Got so tired we can't keep beheading them. We're too exhausted. Oh, okay, Saladin says. Get some other men in there. Then they had the weak men. They couldn't behead the slaves with one stroke. So the audience laughed and mocked him. Is the world evil? Yes. The Crusaders, they went down, kill all these Muslims. Said, hey, but Captain, we can't tell who the Muslims are, who the Christians are. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. Yeah, is the world evil? The Inquisitions, you don't believe what I believe? You don't believe that? And I got the power of the state. The church would transfer him over to the state, put him on a stake, put wood beneath him, you see. Light the fire, right? And that's it. How about Stalin? He wanted to put communism in place. Starve millions of people. Well, they got a lot more specific facts than I've got on that. Millions starved. And yet, they were going to put in communism. We're going to make it work. It wasn't done right. Stalin had, he could kill millions to make it work. Hey, if I want your land, I'll take it. You won't give me your land? We'll starve you to death. He could make it work. And still it didn't work, you see. But some of the evil in the world, right? Hitler, what about that? What about that? He didn't. See, I went back and studied that because I like procedure. How did this thing start? How did it start? See, he called together not just people. He called together his scientists. He called together his mechanics. He called together doctors, you see, social work. How can we kill these Jews faster? We got to do it quicker. Got to be done with more expeditiously. Okay? And then when that all got done and all these scientists and these brains from all over Germany came, they had to come back together again to know how do you dispose of the bodies. It's hard. You bury them, that's not enough. The earth undulates after a while from the gases. The world evil, okay, 55 million babies in this country have been slaughtered in the womb. I first had down about 40 million. Then I checked it out. It had grown to 55. 55 million slaughtered in the womb. And it says that's since the Supreme Court case of Roe versus Wade, okay? And it's growing daily. You know by how many? 125,000 innocent babies are being slaughtered in the womb. Now, some may argue, oh, that's too high. Not that, it's only 100,000. I'll accept that figure, that's fine. Still too many, you see. Jeremiah 7:31. He said, you've built high places in Topheth, the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn your children and their daughters in the fire. He says, which I did not command. I'm gonna separate myself from this. I didn't command this. Don't get things screwed up, you see. It never even came into my heart to have you do that, see. So in Psalms, I'm not going to read all of this. Take down Psalms 106, 37, and 38 about sacrificing to demons, the children to demons, innocent blood. Innocent blood, it says, polluted the land. See, and in Romans 9 and 11 is a scripture you can tie in. It talks differently about children not yet being born nor having done any good or evil. Absolutely pure innocence being massacred. Is the world evil? Huh? See, I heard a news forecast. They had this woman, a feminist, and she was talking to women of the same of mind, and she said, very proudly, I am proud to present that last week I had my first abortion. Oh, hey, clap, they clapped. Because she had her first abortion, like first. What, are you going to have them every few months? You see what I mean? Horrible. Clapping, happy, because she had a baby taken out of her womb. And you read, they don't say, we're going to kill a baby. They never used the word baby. They never used the word child. They say, we're going to have a gentle suction and we're going to remove the pregnancy. No thought of a child, you see. Okay. So with all this nature, evil nature in mankind, the only reasonable conclusion you can come to is that the world is evil. Now, because man is inherently evil, it does not mean he can never do good or resist evil. It doesn't mean that. See, carnal man even has a willpower. He has will. And sometimes he can be tempted, and through just his own willpower, without the help of God's Spirit, resist that evil. And sometimes by his own willpower he can do good. It has been done in the world. We see it. We say, oh, well, it's not so bad, you see. He resists evil, he does good. But by comparison, the evil acts of man far outweighed the good. That's a fact of life. You can see it in scripture. If you don't like that, go to history. You can read it in history. How does Jesus evaluate the overall conduct of the world? John 7:7 says, the world doesn't hate you, it hates me because I testify to it. So Jesus is testifying, he's getting on the stand. Jesus, what do you think about the world? And his answer is, its works are evil. That's a summation of Jesus Christ's view of the world. So what is the final outcome of the evil that infests this world? What's the final outcome? Upon Jesus' return, he's going to place all the responsibility of sin and the consequential evil that comes, ever committed, going to place it upon Satan, back on Satan, Leviticus 16. Jeremiah 3:17, no more, they're going to follow the dictates of their evil heart. Things are going to change. And in Revelation 20, verses 10, 14, and 15, Satan, death, and the grave are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And whoever not found in the book of life is going to be cast in the lake of fire. Okay? At that time, all evil, as the world has experienced it, will come to an end and no longer exist. That will be the ending of evil. We saw the beginning. That will be the end. Okay. So does this mean now that you have to keep your mind saturated with all the evil and the gruesome things that are going on in the world today so you know there's evil? No, absolutely not. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is convince yourself from the scriptures, from secular history, from current news, that the world is evil. Once you do that, you got it in your mind. All you got to do is just have enough information to keep this truth in your mind. You don't have to saturate your mind with all the gory details, the stomach-churning events of every news announcement about women being captive and taken in trafficking, slave trafficking, etc. You don't need all the details. So you don't have to saturate your mind with it. You just know this world is evil. See? So knowing the world is essential evil, right? And that our body is comprised of sinful flesh. So should we have an attitude now of hopelessness? Oh man, depression and despair. I'm just a hunk of junk. I'm just nothing. No, absolutely not. You're a Christian today. You're a Christian. John 17, 20 and 21. God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, live in you, and you in them, to the Holy Spirit that God gives you. You don't have to have this attitude of, you should not, you must not. You're not supposed to have an attitude of hopelessness, depression, and despair. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 23, God has begotten you again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, begotten again. Ephesians 2, 5 and 8, you are saved. You don't have any, you can't have hopelessness, depression, or despair. You are saved. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, you're a new creation. You've been born again in type. You are sons and daughters of God the Father. You are brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. So you don't have any attitude of hopelessness, depression, or despair. See, you've been born again. And this type will become reality when Jesus Christ comes and change your body to a spiritual body infused with eternal life. So there's no room for an attitude of hopelessness, despair, or despondency. You are in an evil world, but Jesus Christ has taken you out of this evil world. You're no longer a part of it. See? You're no longer a part. Although the world is evil, you are not. So don't have a negative attitude. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. By the power of God, you got to get that. Not by your strength, by the power of God, you have escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. All these scriptures about the evilness belongs to the world. I said at the beginning, of those that don't have God's Spirit, see? They don't apply to you. You're just on this higher level. because God placed you there, you see. So our attitude should be a positive one, full of hope and full of anticipation of what's coming and thankfulness for what we are through the power of God. So in conclusion, is the world evil? According to the scriptures, absolutely yes. No question about it, you see. And knowing that the world is evil, do we have to keep hearing about it? The answer again is yes. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of what he was talking about, of these things, though you know them. You know them, but I'm going to keep repeating them so you don't forget them. See? And also tie into that 2 Peter 3:1. You see, it's a moral duty of the ministers to keep reminding the congregations at appropriate times, not every sermon, appropriately, that the world is evil. They got to keep reminding you. Why? Why? So that you don't forget. So that you don't forget. See, the human mind has a tendency to forget. Talk to kids today about Pearl Harbor. Well, what do you mean Pearl Harbor? I know when I was a kid, one of the kids brought down and says, here's my father's bayonet, or my grandfather's from World War I. World War I? That was 1,000,000 years ago, you see. So people have a tendency to forget, so you don't. That's why it must be reminded, so you don't forget and fall into a spiritual sleep. A spiritual sleep, see? And unwittingly become part of this world again. That's devastating. That's going back a dog to his vomit, a sow, a pig to its slop, to its mud, okay? Yes, the world is an evil place, but gratefully, you and me, we are not a part of it. And gratefully, God is sending Jesus to change it, and you are going to have a part of that.